Good morning. Luke 23:9. And Herod questioned Jesus with many words, but he answered him nothing. Have you never been concerned that your repentance is a sham? Never? If never, perhaps you're suffering from spiritual blindness. Meet Herod Antipas, the one rebuked by John the Baptist for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife. Yet he was not so brazen that he felt no guilt. The Holy Spirit tells us he was fearful. Fearful of resisting God's word. But he did it anyway, to satisfy his lust. Fearful of putting John in prison. But he did it anyway, to silence the public accusations. Fearful of removing John's head. But he did it anyway, so he'd not look like a wimp in front of his friends. Yet he remained interested in spiritual things. So how do you suppose he convinced himself that he was okay with God? Well, think of any excuses you have used for sin. It's probably the same. He would call John up from the dungeon and talk with him, questioning him about many things. Proof for God, for himself, that he was a spiritual person. Yet rather than becoming silent before God's word, he also tried the opposite. Tried to silence the accusation of God's word with drink and jokes and sensuality. Thus the seductive dancing of his own stepdaughter was more valuable to him than John's head. And it controlled him more than God's word. The six-headed serpent of lust was the god that led him into murder. When Herod heard reports of what Jesus was doing, his conscience roared within him, concluding, This is John the Baptist, risen from the dead. And yet he continued to trifle with these divine warnings, to silence his conscience by enjoying whatever sensual kicks he could. He was searing his conscience with a hot iron. Sin's continued resisting of the law and conscience eventually builds up enough scar tissue that neither the law nor conscience has any more impact. They're silenced. They can't be felt because the nerve sensitivity is burnt away. And yet we're told Herod was exceedingly glad to see Jesus because he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Imagine how Herod enthusiastically greeted Jesus, recalling some of the miracles he'd heard about. But Jesus spoke not one word. Herod continued expounding his religious drivel until Jesus' silence perturbed and embarrassed him. Jesus had previously sent Herod a personal message, which called him to repent. This man was interested in Jesus for his entertainment. Proof that he was okay with God, but not to repent. His demand for miracles and signs was itself a mere sensual curiosity then. Why doesn't God prove it to me if he wants me to follow him? Jesus knew that Herod had to face repentance instead of blocking it out, laughing it off, evading it. His repentance was a sham. How often is ours? Jesus answered not a word. Herod's scorning of God's call brought him under the judgment of Matthew 7. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. So now Jesus was silent until his call to repentance rang in Herod's ears. But in order to cover up his need for repentance, the accusing shame that shouted at him in Jesus' silence, Herod made fun of Jesus. Had him clothed, bloody wounds and all, in the scarlet robe of a king. Herod asserted himself as master to prove Jesus was nothing. To prove that he, Herod, would not be judged. But Hebrews reminds us that the person who willfully broke the law of Moses was stoned without mercy. Jesus brought grace and truth to us at the cost of his own holy, precious blood, how much worse it will be then for the one who willfully scorns Jesus' blood. Jesus was silent in the ultimate call to repentance, but Herod is silenced forever. Don't trifle with Jesus' call to repent. It's easy to look at a scumball like Herod and presume, well, even if my repentance isn't what it should be, it's never such a sham as his. But every one of us, by nature, is like that pig desiring to return to its mud hole. The more often we indulge in a sin of commission or fail to do what we should, the less able we are to even see the mud holes we're in. Whenever we cover up our own guilt, use the cross of Christ as a mere pacifier for guilt, rather, while unwilling to really repent, follow Jesus only insofar as it's not in the way of my desires. View church as something that should be there for my entertainment, suggests the Lord, better give me some signs. We're joining Herod in the pig pen. Jesus calls us to face repentance instead of blocking it out, laughing it off, or evading it. Lest Jesus become silent before us and we are eternally silenced. The solution to our natural tendency to a sham repentance is not to believe in our own sincerity, but to look to Jesus. Despite the intense ridicule, Jesus remains silent, not only to call Herod to repent, but also to fulfill every word of Scripture for us. Isaiah foretold that Jesus would be as a lamb led silent to its slaughter. Sheep are too stupid to realize what's coming. Jesus, knowing every agony, walked on in love for you. Though he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. His whole will was aligned with the fulfillment of every detail of Scripture in order that his obedience, even in his silence, might be our righteousness. So precisely by not doing a miracle, Jesus was offering Herod more than he had ever dreamed of, and us. By silently going to the cross, he provided the perfect repentance for the sins of the whole world as our substitute. His blood silences our accusing conscience, silences Satan's accusations, silences our fears and insecurities, gives us all the riches of his heaven. Beware, Jesus says, the leaven of Herod. With such salvation fulfilled, shall we not become silent before God in repentance? Yet break that silence in grateful shouts of praise to him who loved us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hymn 153, stanzas 3 and 4.